And our leadoff guest today is Madhu Berrywal. Her expertise involves disaster management, and as we know, unfortunately, there is much to do in Louisiana regarding that then and now. And her company is IEM. She's the president and CEO for this company that is known nationwide for it, if not worldwide, for its success in times of travail. Good morning to you, Madhu Berrywal.
Good morning, Jim.
Well, before we get to IEM, you have a great backstory. You grew up in Calcutta.
That's right. I lived there and finished my bachelor's degree in Calcutta and then came over here to do my master's.
And that was where?
It was at the University of Kansas.
And you were there, got your master's degree, and then came to Baton Rouge. What was the catalyst?
Well, I was dating someone, and he was a chemical engineer, and got a job here in Louisiana, and that's what drew me down here. And when I came in, I had two job offers. One was for healthcare policy, and the other one was for floodplain management. And since my background, undergraduate degrees in geography and the master's was in urban planning, I really had a desire to work in spatial problems. And so I took the floodplain management job with the state of Louisiana, became one of the state's first floodplain manager.
And it always seems that invariably there's something happening in Louisiana, and not just hurricanes. As we found out last August, it seems as though we are a place where these kinds of eruptions happen. So you always have to be on the ready. How do you do that?
Well, I think that it's really looking at five different phases, if you think about, for disaster management. One is preparedness, getting, being ready for a disaster. And for a family, that means having an emergency plan of some kind that says, you know, if something happens, like unfortunately the San Bernardino shooting that occurred in California yesterday, that you have a plan for where you're going to congregate or who outside of the area you're going to inform of your whereabouts so that the family can reunite. That's one of the most important things that you want to do. Preparedness is also the place where you do exercises. A lot of cities, states, at the federal level, they do a lot of exercises, public education. But there's also the mitigation. You know, what can you do to make it so that the next disaster is not as severe as this one was? So, for example, for this flood, looking at the Comete and River and Amite River Basin and saying, what can we do for resiliency in that mm-hmm. basin? That's very important. Response is, of course, extremely important. That's when you can really save lives and potentially save property from additional harm. And then recovery, which is what we are facing right now, which is really important. Getting people's, and I say recovery is not just infrastructure recovery, but it's really life recovery for the citizens that are impacted. And that's a very important component of it. And then there's also, unfortunately, since 9/11, prevention, which is mostly focused on the terrorism aspects of things.
Your Talk Louisiana number is 877-217-5757 anywhere, and the Baton Rouge calling number is 297-5633. Gail in Collegetown, you're on Talk Louisiana with Madhu Berrywal. Hi, Gail.
Good morning, Jim. Bill and I wanted to tell you how delighted we are that you're back on the air and
well,
to compliment you on two of your visitors in the beginning, Steve Carter. We've known Steve and his family, who are just exemplary people, as well as Dan Clater, and the topics you cover. And I wanted to make a donation. I'm afraid I didn't get to it last week, so if you hand me over to someone else to do that.
Okay.
But we're just so happy you're back on the air, Jim.
Well, thank you so much, Gail.
And Bill and I both congratulate you.
I know who you are, and thank you for your kind words, and I appreciate you calling in this morning and conveying it. And our guest, of course, is Madhu Berrywal, who, like Gail and Bill, has been in Baton Rouge for a long time. For 37 years, she looks fabulous, so Baton Rouge agrees with you, obviously. And as I noted, you're involved not only in floods, which would mean hurricanes, tornadoes, anything of that weather-related, but also if there's a terror incident, if there's, unfortunately, as you noted in San Bernardino, if there's a mass shooting, your company is prepared. But I would imagine, based on the event, Madhu, it is essential to be ready for any eventuality, but there are different there are different facets of being ready.
Absolutely. We have been involved in not just the floods and hurricanes and earthquakes or those kind of natural phenomena, but we've also been involved for the last 25 years in chemical weapons preparedness. There are chemical weapons that have been stored around the country. There used to be 8 sites. Now they are down to 2 sites. The 6 sites have been successfully remediated and destroyed all the chemical weapons there. And under the treaty with Russia, we worked with the U.S. Army with the Russian chemical weapons program. As you know, there's been a lot of discussion recently about the Syrian chemical weapon attack on its own citizens. And that's the sarin agent that we've worked with repeatedly for the last 25 years in keeping people safe from that kind of a release in the U.S. We've also done a lot of work in bioterrorism. We are the modeler for the Department of Health and Human Services since 9/11 and the anthrax attacks. So our models inform policy making, and the executive order that was signed by President Obama in the early part of his tenure was actually developed under President Bush and then signed by President Obama. That was based on the work that we did on the modeling for bioterrorism.
How much of your operation goes beyond the borders of the Bayou State?
We work in all 50 states. We work with a lot of territories. We work with a number of tribal governments. We have worked overseas in Turkey, in Chile, in India, in Russia, in Ukraine, in a lot of different countries. And we are now the largest woman-owned disaster management company in the world.
The largest woman-owned disaster management company in the world, right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
That's right.
Now, a listener asks, how do you clean up a chemical attack like we saw in Syria? Certainly there's immense danger. How's it done?
Well, cleanup for some of the chemical agents are persistent, like VX is a persistent chemical agent, so it soaks into concrete. It can persist for some period of time. Getting it out and remediating it involves really an incineration-like process to get the agent removed. The agent that was used in Syria was sarin. It's not a gas. A lot of people call it a gas. It's an agent. And it's not as persistent as VX is. So the issue with sarin, really, it is the same thing that we saw in the Tokyo subway attack in 1995 or so. It's really the immediate effects on the people that are the biggest concern.
Is it lethal sometimes to the people who are doing the bad deed when they're using that kind of a chemical agent?
Absolutely. I mean, if you go back to the sarin attacks in Tokyo, they actually tested that previously, and the people that tested it got affected, and some of them had pretty severe injuries from that. So these agents were designed, unfortunately, to kill people, and they do that pretty effectively.
Is that, unfortunately, potentially the wave of the future as far as warfare?
It's called an asymmetric attack. When you have two adversaries like we had in World War I or World War II, where you have two adversaries that are matched, you can have land warfare, you can have air warfare. But when an adversary is very highly unmatched, unfortunately, what people are going towards more and more is these kind of weapons that have a dread factor to them. You know, it's debatable whether you would wish to be killed by a cluster bomb versus a sarin attack, but we all have a certain dread of the things that we cannot see and cannot see coming at us. And those create, and they should, they create an emotional dissonance that is really pretty profound.
How many employees do you have worldwide?
We have about 300.
300, and most of them in Louisiana?
Well, no, we have offices in a number of states. We have offices in Washington, D.C., in Maryland, in Kentucky, in Colorado, in North Carolina.
So you do some traveling?
Well, yes. I recently asked somebody from Delta Airlines how many miles I had on Delta Airlines, and they told me I had 17.5 million miles on Delta Airlines.
17.5 million. How often do you go back to India?
I try to go back once a year or so. I lost my father in 1986, And that reminded me that, you know, time passes, and if you don't meet people that you love and care for often enough, that you'll have a lot of regret. And so I try to go as soon as I can, which is generally about a year.
A few more minutes from Madhu Berrywal, a fascinating person based in Baton Rouge, running one of the largest companies in the world, headed by a female executive, and she's been in our midst since 1980 and founded IEM, that's her company, in 1985. Now, before we went to the break, you were talking about your youth in Calcutta and rubbing shoulders with one Mother Teresa.
That's right, Jim. Mother Teresa had a charity in Calcutta, as we all know, and we used to raise money for her charity at my school. It was an all-girls school, and she would come in, and we would give her the money. And it was had a profound impact later on that I realized that she was so selfless, and she came and talked to us, and it was always heartrending because she would talk about where the money was going to go and how it would serve people. And at least I realized that I didn't have it in me to sacrifice as much as she did, but you really learn that you have to live a life with some purpose, that you have to live your life to do something meaningful. And I think that stayed with a lot of us that had a chance to meet her. And I think I said this to you many years ago on your show, but you really could feel her soul enter the room. She was a very small woman. She spoke very softly. But when she entered the room, you felt the presence of something in the room.
Well, before we go, with you on the ready to go anywhere on the planet, if necessary, to address disasters, and as a person of the world, how dangerous is the world right now?
I think the world is a very dangerous place. There are more and more nation states that have nuclear weapons. There's a potential for lone actors to be able to get weapons that they had no access to before. The internet is a wonderful thing, but it also provides people information on being able to develop lethal weapons that are chemical weapons or biological weapons. And there are now people developing manufactured bioweapons of a kind that we have never seen before. And in addition to that, I think there is just a whole lot of separation between people now, where people are divided within the countries, outside the countries, and there's great potential for harm. And this is what we work in, to keep people safe, secure, and resilient. And we work every day to figure out how we can do that better, faster, and with fewer resources, but using science and technology in service of human beings, in service of people.
Well, we thank you for joining us today, and it's been too long since your last visit.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, Jim, again, and I'm so glad that you started this show again.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madhu Berrywal.